It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. We're in the study of Revelation, the book of Revelation. We're in the third chapter. We're going to begin reading with the seventh verse concerning the Church of Philadelphia. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you can find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to send us an email, you can do that at parkviewbible@gmail.com. And if you would like to call us, our phone number is 217-247-2717. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Again, we're going to read in the third chapter of Revelation, verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let's begin with prayer before we start the study today. Father, we thank you that we can come together and enjoy this study. It is so important, dear Lord, that we enjoy each time that we can to come to open your precious word up and to read it. Thank you, dear Father, for this opportunity. Please, that you will guide and lead us now, and that we may enjoy this time, that we may bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that they will know you as their Savior, realize that they need to meet you at the cross of Calvary where you died for their sins, offered your life in placement of theirs. Thank you, dear Father, for that. I just ask that you'll reach into the hearts of all those that are lost today and bring salvation to them, and that they'll allow, invite you in. It's a free gift. Father, we just want them to invite you into their hearts to be saved, and then begin to grow each and every day, dear Lord. Thank you for this time now. Please show us your way and will today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This Church of Philadelphia, this message is to the true church in the midst of a professing church, true believers among the many members. And we have that today. Each and every church, I'm afraid, possesses lost people. Hopefully, some churches do have some saved, born-again folks. But I'm afraid that there are many churches that number is few and far between. Philadelphia, the angel of the right, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. This city of Philadelphia, this city of this church in Philadelphia, it's about 25 miles south of Sardis, named from its founder, Philadelphs, and I probably mispronounced that. It's Philadelphus, the king of Pergamos. The name means brotherly love. And today its name is Al-Shir, which means city of God. The population is about 15,000. There is the remains in this city of 25 churches, large churches. Some of these churches would even be found in John's day. This city continued longer than any other city named by John. It was the last Christian city to surrender to the Turks. Its name meaning brotherly love, and we have a couple of verses of scripture that I would like to look up and enjoy today. And so let's go to the Gospel of John, John chapter 13, John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another, brotherly love. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. When we come together, the love that we should have for each other should be very evident. Too many times the opposite is evident. It's bickering and fighting, and if the Holy Spirit is truly in your church and you truly have born-again believers, you will have a wonderful fellowship with them. If you got some lost people in there, especially if they have acquired places of leadership, you're going to find that it's not the joy, the fellowship is going to be lacking because the lost is there, and there are two folks to deal with here. If you know the Lord Jesus, God is your father. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, Satan is your father. And so you can imagine those two combined together don't get along. And so you need to be born again and trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. These people really received some wonderful blessings. And we need to look at the extra blessings that come when people start with an attitude of kindness. And that comes from the grace that is owned and possessed by a believer, and you will begin to be kind and considerate and loving. And there are blessings that are attached to that. Now, we have found a church here that has no faults. Too many times our old habits, bad habits, come into the church, and we try to run the church just like we try to operate a regular old business, instead of being led by the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit introduces us to the Lord Jesus, and then shows us the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus shows us the Father. And so we have a wonderful relationship and attain wisdom and knowledge to do what is right. And in that comes this attitude of kindness. The fruit of the Spirit, in other words, what we become when we are a child of God and surrender to the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That is wonderful qualities to have, and about every one of us love to know people that's like that. And I'm sure that those people would like us to be that way. And again, it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. All those are opportunities and qualities that we will have if we possess the grace of God and surrender to the Holy Spirit. The old habits seem to come out more than the new when we are born again and we have that new heart and we begin to walk with the Lord Jesus and serve Him and praise Him. It's wonderful, but too often, my friend, too often the old flesh gets its way and the old habits begin to prevail and it destroys our fellowship within the church. We need to see that we listen to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to have His free will, and then what a wonderful fellowship that we'll have. As we look at this church here of Philadelphia, who is writing? These things saith he that is holy. So you see, that is the nature of our God is holy. And the word holy, if you look it up in the Greek, you see it means whole, sound. It means separation from all that is sinful. That is our God. He is holy. He is holy. Holy is His nature, and therefore He cannot but be true to His word, holy. He has a divine attributes. In Jeremiah 10:10, but the Lord is the true God, He is the living God, and the everlasting King. He is holy. Hosea 11:9 tells us that I am God and not man. The Holy One is in the midst of thee. Revelation 4:8, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Holy. Just some wonderful characters of our God, attributes. It's wonderful to look at those verses of Scripture. And again, I will repeat each one so that you can look up. I went through them very quickly, and let me read each one to you. The first is Jeremiah 10:10. Next is Hosea 11:9. Next is Revelation 4:8. Next is Isaiah 6:3. Next is 1 John 5:20. So that'll allow you to look those verses of Scripture up later and read those as well. The messenger is further identified by the words that he is the key, he that hath the key of David. Now we know his connection. He was born king of the Jews. That was placed upon his over the cross when he was crucified. And this is the king of the Jews. And so he that hath the key of David, and David, of course, has that connection. And so we need to understand that not only is he has a close connection with the Jews, but is also the key of government and the authority in and over church, the church. He has the key of David. We have Isaiah chapter 22, verse 22. Let's go to that chapter and book and read that today. Isaiah chapter 22. I hope you're able to open your Bible and find these verses of Scripture today. If you are not, why, I hope that you'll write them down and be able to look them up later. You can always go to our website and find this message. And it will be listed under the radio station that it's being played on today. And then you can sit and listen to it again if you'd like. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 22. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Revelation 1:18. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last times who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. I'm sorry, I didn't think that that was correct. I was in Jude chapter 1. Let me try. Oh, this is a lot better. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Now, as we look at the key of David here, and his authority and his power, and I apologize for reading the wrong scripture verse, but that shows you that I'm looking the scripture verses up, and not just reading them from notes that I have. And so that does cause me now and then to make a mistake. And so I apologize, but I want you to see that. First was Isaiah 22:22, and the second one was Revelation 1:18. And as we look at this, and we find in Acts chapter 2 that Jesus gave to Peter the keys to open the kingdom of heaven to the Jews on the day of Pentecost. Now, in having that, we know that that he built his foundation up on the Lord Jesus Christ, not as some build their foundation upon Peter. It is upon the Lord Jesus, and that's exactly where Peter got all of his power and authority. Peter's just a man like anybody else. He has no special power or strength other than that is given him from the Lord. And then in Acts chapter 10, if you would read these chapters later today, Acts chapter 10, we see that the open to the door of salvation. And so and when this happens, so we have the Jews in Acts chapter 2, and we have the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, because that's to the house of Cornelius. And so it is not only a promise to the Jews, but it also comes to the Gentiles. And so as we look through these verses of Scripture, and it tells us, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. The door is open to whosoever will, whether you're Jew or Gentile. And what a promise. You know, he opens the door of opportunity to his church. He opens the door of utterance to his ministers to proclaim the gospel and to teach his word. He opens the door the door of entrance into the church and opens the heart and the allows the open the door to the church as being triumphant, eternal. And so by us allowing Jesus to come into our hearts, we become a member of the church, and the Lord opens those doors. He gives us a free gift of salvation. Without that, we have nothing. And so for us to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and look to him and walk with him each and every day, remember he is the one that opens every door. We have no opportunity without him. And also does he opens the door, as it says, and then he says that no man shuts the door. And so we need to realize that the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man opens. And so no man can shut what he opens, and no man can open what he shuts. When he pleases, he shuts the door of opportunity. We said we're of the time of the whosoever will. It's the church age, the age of the whosoever will. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved. Trust in him. But there is a time when the calling ends. And he calls, and he calls, and he calls. And I have watched this in individuals that have come and sat under the preaching here at the church and sat under Sunday school teachers, and they listen, and finally they say, you know, they just quit coming. They don't want to hear it anymore. And I don't know, you know, at all. And I'm not going to say it's the day that they stop coming here to church is the day that he stops calling, because that may be true, it may not be true. But I know there is a time when he does quit calling. He shuts the door of opportunity. He leaves that obstinate sinner shut up in the hardness of his own heart. So it's up to you. Every individual has an opportunity of salvation. But there is a time that he will shut the door to his church. And that, by shutting that, the fellowship, he shuts the fellowship to unbelievers. He shuts the door against the workers of iniquity that wants to come and destroy. And he just shuts that door. And it doesn't matter what they do or say after that time. Now, when he shuts that door is God's decision. But you can't decide that I kind of see that it's right, and I think that there'll be a time that I will call upon the Lord and be saved, but not now. You're playing with your eternity, and you could find yourself waking up and being in hell, my friend. And so please, I ask you that you come today, because he is the one that opens the door to call you. He's the one that shuts the door and the calling ends. Many doors have been shut today in many lands, and they have been closed because of the unbelief, because of the coming in of false teaching. And when the false teaching starts, many times God closes that door, and he stops calling in that church. Now, individuals can get saved, but the power and the strength of that church goes away, and nobody through that church will get saved. They can get saved individually by hearing it some other way, but the power is gone from there. There has been many times that opportunity was to different lands, different countries. And if we don't straighten up this land that we live in, that we call America, God is getting, his patience is getting thin. It's not going to be long that he's going to stop calling. And we will be into that same situation, because church after church in this country have become false teachers of his precious word. Who, when, and where is in complete independence from man. The power of man has no strength when it comes to the will of God. You need to accept that free gift of salvation that he offers to you today. Do not wait. Do not play with God, because you're going to find yourself, as the scripture, as the world says, out in the cold. But it's really the opposite, because you're going to find yourself in a lake of fire. And we have examples in God's word, especially with the rich man when he went to the place of torment and he wanted to know if there would be someone that would come and just dip their fingers in the water and touch my lips and my tongue that I could have, you know, it's just so hot here and I'm so thirsty. That's eternity. Eternity. The opening and or the shutting is the work of God, not a work of man. So when he calls, you come. He works to will and to do, and when he works, none can stop. And I'm talking about the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he calls, there is nothing in this world can stop that call. You can reject it, and there'll be a time then that call will end. I hope that you will trust him. What joy, what opportunities come when we're under his care. Have you ever noticed what this world spends their time and money and efforts to acquire? The millions of Americans that have this witness of the gospel presented so clearly, spend their money on automobiles and on fancy things in their homes, booze and drugs and cigarettes, spend thousands of their dollars buying things of this world. But when it comes to the things concerning the house of God and the furtherance of the gospel, they find that they just send pennies. That's all they have left. So see, as we look at these verses of Scripture, that when He opens the door for you for salvation, that you come and you serve Him and you praise Him and you honor Him. The messenger here says in verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Oh, wonderful. They have an open door. The one who is delivering this message to this church is the one who opens and no man can shut. And he says, I have set an open door before you. And we know this is the Lord Jesus Christ that's speaking here. I have kept it open, though there has been many enemies. Once again, remember that Jesus Christ is the author of all liberty and opportunity. And every person that comes by faith to Jesus becomes a member of the church. And the church enjoys that blessing. When we look at these verses of Scripture, it says, once again, I know thy works. This is verse 8. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. They've come by faith to the Lord Jesus, and they set out, even though the enemy just keeps beating them up and coming after them, yet he has come, and they have held strong in their service. They are winning the lost. They are growing the saved. That's what they're doing. They have not stopped, even though the enemies are so close. We have a couple of verses of Scripture here that I would like to read. Let's look back to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 27. Acts 14, 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. What a promise. What a promise. This is what happens when we follow after the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. He opens a door. The enemy's right there. But He opens the door for service and for power. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Jesus has the key to open the door of service. God commands that certain preachers to go to certain cities and to preach, to minister. He also commands preachers not to go to certain areas to preach. Paul went three different directions one time, only had one direction left, and that's the way he went because God had opened that door. My dear friend, I hope you know Jesus as your Savior. I'm going to ask you once again, what are you going to do about Jesus?